VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It is Saturday morning. It is 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here on this very excellent Saturday morning where we're experiencing the beginnings of what looks like a heat wave in the middle of January. Suits me to a T. Absolutely. So stick around for a while. It isn't that nice out there yet that you have to go outside and do anything unless, of course, you take your portable radio or drive in your car. Stick around for an hour and see if you might not just learn something. To all the regulars out there, thanks for coming back. We appreciate the fact that you're always there. And if you're just finding the show for the first time, you should try to stick around for the whole hour anyway. We are nothing if not amusing to each other. We assume it comes across that way to you also. So anyway, lots to talk about, as there always seems to be lots to talk about. The things that happen these days happen quickly and in big bunches, and a lot changes over the course of a week.
Yeah,
even though it seems Saturday to Saturday is such a compressed time.
It's true, but this week really fit in a lot of stuff.
It really did, including more new records on Wall Street.
Yeah, we pulled back a little bit, but we did see them midweek.
And don't look for headline news claiming that things are really good out there, because you won't find it.
Well, we're on the brink of World War III.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
That's correct, according to the people who are always wrong.
Yeah, I feel bad for all those kids that are going to get drafted, too.
Mm-hmm. Among other things that happened financially this week was we had our first crossing of 29,000 on the Dow.
We did, very briefly.
We also had a second crossing, because what goes up sometimes comes down. Mm-hmm. And after the break, I will give you a trivia question, which has all to do with crossings, since it's a topic of interest of today.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, today in the market, and yesterday in the market,
yeah,
the day before.
Well, it was the first full trading week of the new year, and it got off to a bit of a rocky start, and it had a little bit of a rocky finish. But the days in between more than made up for that, as the markets were up across the board this week, continuing the rally of 2019 with a nice little gain. The NASDAQ, as usual lately, led the way with a 1.8% gain, while the Dow and S&P both gained 0.7%. The weakness early in the week was due to the threat of a potential war with Iran, which really was sort of a skirmish when it all was said and done. But that's not what you heard on the news. The news was accusing Trump of starting World War III, and that the U.S. was going to reinstitute the draft, and just other sorts of nonsense. The president has repeatedly said that he wants nothing to do with a war in the Middle East. I mean, I don't think he could be any more clear on that, and yet somehow he gets assigned with being a warmonger, which is the complete opposite of his foreign policy.
That's not the only thing that is assigned to him. So many people think that he lies about every single thing he says. That's how they justify their stupid opinions.
Yeah, that definitely happens as well. But this one was really, really overblown.
Yeah.
He made the call to take care of one of the world's leading terrorists. He was blown up as he stepped out of the airport in Iraq. Actually, this was an Iranian, the second in charge in Iran. And
well, that couldn't have been true because he was barred from leaving Iran, you know.
Well, he was
by international
also
law
actively plotting against the U.S. and had just been involved with the burning of the embassy recently and all sorts of stuff. It was a good thing, and to not have him here anymore. And yet,
did we mention that he went out on the same road where he took out a bunch of people?
That's right, like several hundred U.S. soldiers, yeah. I believe. So that was fitting.
Wonderful.
Anyways, this whole thing, Iran then fired some missiles at U.S. interests in Iraq. And apparently it seems like they might have made a call prior to that through the Swiss to tell them that they were going to do this so no one got hurt. and no one did get hurt. And then that was the end of it. So all of that did not come to World War III, and the market bounced back pretty nicely in the middle of the week. And then Friday we saw a jobs report, which the headline number was a miss, which that's debatable whether it was really a miss. I mean, it was off by 15,000, which is a somewhat of a rounding error in a report like that. But
anything's a miss if you're estimating too high.
Yeah, well, there's that too. But it was actually a really good report, and I know you want to dig into that later, so I won't
believe
too much into it right now. As you mentioned, we set several new all-time highs this week, and markets around the world are actually starting to follow us. Emerging markets are trading right near a 52-week high. They pulled back a little bit, but Germany is trading at a 52-week high along with several other European countries. We haven't seen this in a while, where the for quite a while, the U.S. has been really outperforming international markets. And to see them sort of keeping pace with us is nice, because if you have any sort of allocation to international, it probably hasn't performed very well for the past few years. And it recently, last quarter, our international funds performed extremely well. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. That helps out a lot. In other good news, bullish sentiment fell for the third straight week, coming in at 33%. It's the lowest level since the first week of December. And as you know, if you've listened to the show, that's a good thing. Yeah, because investors usually get it wrong. So whenever they're bullish, the market tends to go down. And whenever bullish sentiment falls, the market tends to go up.
And it's close to one to one where the people who are no longer bullish flipped all the way over, not to neutral, but to bearish.
Yep.
That's even better.
Right. And 33% isn't an extremely high or low reading. It's kind of right in the middle. But the trend is clearly down, which is a positive sign for the market.
It's like the demographics of the country. You get a third who are conservatives, a third who are liberals, and a third who are independent. The market's like that right now. A third bullish on the market, a third bearish, and a third are right in the middle.
Well, that's how it used to be. I feel like it's more 50-50 now because you have to pick a side.
Seems like that nowadays, but it's not really true.
In other economic news, the weekly jobless claims fell further down to 214,000, beating the estimates and remaining at that historically low level we've seen forever now.
Didn't hear much about that either, did we?
No, we really didn't. And then we had the headline number for job creation, which I mentioned before. It came in at 145,000 versus an estimate of 160,000. And the previous 2 months were revised down by another 14,000, which, okay, so the total miss was just right around 29,000, which isn't terrible. It's not great, but there was
when one of those months was revised down from, I think it was 262,000 to 252,000.
Yeah, that
oh my,
puts things in perspective.
Doesn't it, though?
So there was a lot of good news in the report, actually. The one thing that was a little concerning, but again, it's one report, it's not a trend, it was that wage growth slowed dramatically to 0.1%, and that gave it a year-over-year number of 2.9%. 2.9 is a little bit lower than we'd like to see. I'd rather see that number closer to 4 or in the mid-3s. But again, this is one report, so the trend has been very, very positive in both of those numbers. So,
yeah, and that was just the average. The lower down on the wage poll you go, the faster they're rising.
That's true, which is something we haven't seen in forever.
That's good. Very, very good.
So I know you want to dig more into that, but I think we might do it after the break.
We will. There are a lot of things that you won't hear from the mainstream media, naturally. So we'll get into the weeds a little bit on this thing. And I've got a lot of recap numbers. How was the year 2019 economically, wage-wise, jobs-wise? It's pretty darn good, thank you very much.
That's what I would guess, yeah.
I will represent all that right after the break. So we'll take a short break, pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And I would like to hear from anybody out there who felt like baying at the moon last night. Some of you may know this, others may not, but we had what is called the Wolf Moon last night. It's a very strange little thing where the moon in some areas gets caught in a syzygy, so to speak, with a lunar eclipse, which tends to darken the moon in other places. And that when that happens the first time of the year, it's called a wolf moon. Now, if that isn't a great example of useless information, I have no idea what is.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect example of that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's a high compliment. All right, trivia question brought to you as usual by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 904-636-7888. We like to talk about crosses as we started the show today and talked about the first cross of 29,000 on the Dow. And I know we always complain about the Dow and then use it for stats. It's simply because there's so much fun.
It is fun, especially when the average up day on the Dow is now 200 points because the size of the Dow makes the relative moves that much smaller.
I remember when that would make the top seven in the year
right.
for up days.
And exactly.
Nowadays, it's just ho-hum. Anyway, we had the first cross when the Dow actually went up during the day. Well, I really prefer to talk about crosses as closings, but
intraday.
You can't always do that.
Yeah, sometimes.
Intraday, it'll go up and down. So my question is going to be about actually closings. But we did have the first two crosses. Physically, the index went up over 29,000 and then came back down before the end of the day. So it is very typical as the Dow is marching along from where it was, and I've got some great statistics on this. It was on election day, November 8th, 2016, it had closed the day before at 18,260, and this week we crossed 29,000, and that is quite a lot of change in a number that size. Anyway, it doesn't usually cross over and stay there. It has happened. That was a while ago and hasn't happened recently. Usually it takes a few pushes to get above it. There's resistance. The number means absolutely nothing, but the psychology of people and people who program their machines to do this is that when we hit new territory like that, they take a bunch of profits, down it comes. So back and forth, back and forth. All right, so we talked today about crossing 29,000. When it crossed 28,000, and similarly when it crossed 27,000, each time there were a total of seven crosses before the new leg began. Now, if you think about it, it has to be an odd number because the first one is up and the second one is down. So we're sitting now, we've had two crosses intraday, but we've had actually no crosses.
Doesn't have to be. It depends where you are.
Depends where you are. Yeah. If it's before today, yeah, I understand that. Anyway, each time on the 28,000 and the 27,000, it took seven crosses for the Dow to move upward and hit the new one. How many crosses did it take for 26,000 to settle in and move up? It's a whole number. I'll take it plus or minus two because it's odd. How's that? I'm really giving you a break on this.
Yeah, that's generous.
I am. I'm in a good mood today.
All right.
Because we've crossed 29.
That didn't hurt.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Let's wrap up some more of this job stuff. How was that year anyway? If you listened to the mainstream media throughout the year, you probably think that things are pretty dismal. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket, and we're on the brink of war, and there's impeachment and plague and famine and you name it, we got it, right? Well, not necessarily exactly correct. So, first off, the unemployment rate stayed at 3.5%.
Mm-hmm.
That's U3. U6 is the comprehensive unemployment that we used to use before 1994 when Bill Clinton decided he wanted it lower, so he redefined it. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's now at 6.5, which is an all-time low since 1994 when these records have been kept. Now, that is far more important than the 3.5.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we still got to get people coming into this workforce. We got plenty of room. We can't find people to hire anymore, and I don't mean you and me, but we, the country, can't find enough people to hire because there's still a lot of people who aren't entering back into the workforce.
This is why I have such a hard time buying the wages number.
Yeah, exactly.
It should
be going up much faster.
I think it is. I think it is.
Remember, this is the same argument we've used with ourselves and with the public for a long time. The retirements are rampant.
Yes.
With the older people who are making more money. And that is depressing the average. Is it, you could get somebody retiring and have that person replaced who only is making half as much to do the same job. And I'm sure that happens all the time. They're going to work their way up.
Yeah.
Well, that really skews the performance.
You've got to think about people 5 years ago who wanted to retire but only had $700,000 or $800,000 in their bank account and had this $1 million goal. I think this probably happens a lot, whatever that number
now
is.
Now they've reached.
Now they've got. Now they're there.
Yeah. What do? They leave like they wanted to. Anyway, how good was it? For the year 2019, the total number of jobs created, 2.1 million. Okay, that's 7 million in 3 years. The people who could only find part-time work were down 507,000. Remember, those are the jobs that were created under Obama, the part-timers. Why? Obamacare. Because after 29 hours, you had to pay them full-time benefits. So people got cut back from 40 or 42 or 38 or whatever it was, down under 30 again. Well, those people, 507,000 of them, are now full-timers. But they don't count as jobs created. They count as people working. So that's really not in here. Healthcare, the industry itself, 399,000 new jobs last year. Leisure and hospitality, 388,000. Construction, up 151,000. Transportation and warehousing, up 57,000. Manufacturing, up 46,000. And that's the one that's the more tepid right now, but for the year, 46,000. Average hourly earnings were up 2.9% on average to $28.12, but the blue collar are up even more at $23.79 per hour, which comes out right away, right around $55,000 when you add that up over a work week. The average work week is 40 and a half, and the average number of overtime hours is 3.5. So I calculated that out with time and a half on there. And it's funny because that's just about what the median income is today in America. So that actually made a lot of sense. Professional and business jobs up 397,000. The one thing that took a hit, and this is hardly surprising, is mining. Mining had grown in 2018 by 63,000. It fell this year to 24,000. I think part of that is mechanization. Part of it is the ongoing liquid natural gas and that sort of thing. I don't think there are a lot of people out there who believe that we're going to be using that much more coal in the future, but not for the reasons that the anti-coal people say. It's just natural gas is cleaner, better, cheaper, and easier to move around.
And plentiful.
Yeah, you don't need a railroad train. That's pretty much just the way it goes. So how would I rate 2019 as someone looking at an investment portfolio as a whole bunch of fun?
Yep.
That's what I think.
And the other thing about the wages, that headline came out on the same day that there was a headline on MarketWatch about managers at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Taco Bell is doing a pilot program where they are exploring raising the top pay, the pay of some of their top managers, store managers, from $80,000 a year to $100,000 a year. And then in that same article, it said, and that sounds like a lot of money, except if you work at In-N-Out Burger and you become a manager, you can make up to $160,000 a year.
Isn't that amazing?
To manage a small restaurant. That's a great job for the right person. That's incredible.
Now, I've never had the luxury of being close enough to an In-N-Out Burger to get one.
Oh, it's so good.
That's what everybody says.
It is worth the drive to California.
Those people running these places must have some real serious quality standards, because I've never heard a bad word about them.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, if you get out that way, you should try it.
Yeah, work hard, do a good job, and stick around for a while, and guess what happens? You start to make some money. All right, lines are open, 904-222-8255, and the question remains out there. How many times did the market have to cross the 26,000 mark before it actually held and went all the way, as we've just seen, up to 29,000? So that's an odd number greater than 7. I'll give you that.
There were a couple of other data points that came out this week that were important. One of them was the trade deficit in goods and services, and that came at...
This is real important.
It is. It came in at $43.1 billion in November, and that's a deficit. So that sounds terrible, except that it's actually really good. It is, compared to a year ago, that is $10.5 billion smaller than it was at this time last year, which is remarkable.
Hey, think about this. We had a question on this from a caller several months ago, actually. But why is that important? Well, when you have a trade deficit, it means you sell to them and get paid for less goods than they sell to you and get paid for. That means there's a net number of American dollars flowing into these countries, particularly China. What does China do with that money? Well, a couple of things. One of them is they come back here and buy our really good real estate with it, which you can argue either way you want to on that, but I would just assume we broke even on it. They also buy a lot of gold and silver, and they're padding their coffers over there with a whole bunch of that stuff, which means they know something that we should know, and I think I do know, but that's another story. Anyway, that number, the closer it gets to zero, is going to keep our money at home, and that's important. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Lots more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open. We're right here in the 904, as they like to say on TV. 222-TALK, 222-8255. And we have a trivia question open, or we'll take any of your questions on any topic from pretty much soup to nuts, as long as it's financially related. And who knows what you might learn? Who knows what we might learn?
There were two more things that we neglected to talk about. Yeah. So one was that women have now officially passed men in total employment. So there's more women in the workforce than there are men.
Not only that, they earn more money. Women collectively earn more money than men earn collectively.
And they are getting higher degrees, like JDs and doctorates, at a much, much higher rate than men now. And so that is a trend we expect to continue. So good job, ladies.
Yeah, the whiny crowd, I guess, has always complained about the disparity in pay. But the problem that they miss is the equal pay for equal work thing. If one group has jobs that pay less than the other group in their different jobs, they try to compare them, and it's just not doable. That's a concept that has failed ever since it was first thought of. It's called comparable worth. The government is not in a position to tell you what your job is worth relative to somebody in, say, New York City. You just can't have that. So point is, that disappears. That whole thing's going to disappear soon, because not only are more women working, earning more money collectively, the type of jobs they're taking now are paying more.
I listened to a great podcast, and they interviewed the female head of of economics or something related to that gender study. Not gender studies, it was more economics, but she looked at that exact issue and said that something like 99% of the pay gap can be explained by issues like that.
Yeah,
it's not women earning less for the same job.
The Equal Pay Act was signed in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Marshall.
Gentlemen.
What's up?
Let me roll you out a guess. How about 13? That sounds like a lucky number.
13 would be a very lucky number, if only it were right.
Okay. And
it is too low.
I don't know whether I heard this term first from Howard Cosell or it was from Mr. Greenspan, but the term was irrational exuberance.
I heard it first from Greenspan.
That was Greenspan.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't tell me that he made it up, but he's the one that made it famous.
Well, I had two different things that caused me to think, are we having a lot of that today? The first one was, I'm listening to my favorite mortgage rate guy on the radio, and he's talking about, I think it's MSNBC had what they called the greed index. And it sounded like a reasonable combination of stats. And the total spectrum was 0 to 100, meaning 100 people were being very greedy. It's at 93 today. The second item that hit me is I was listening to a conversation about that infamous solid-as-a-rock American company known as Tesla, which is now valued more. Their stock is valued more than Ford Motor Company.
No, it's not only more Ford than Ford and GM combined.
Combined.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And yet, Do I recall that that was the most shorted stock in 2019?
Seem to recall correctly.
The short sellers probably did not make a lot of money on that, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
you're right on. How about that?
If Mr. Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, has a big number on it, I feel a little more comfortable about that number than I do from whatever the guy's name is that's smoking something over
there. Elon Musk is his name.
You know, he talks
about
it. He may
be a nutcase, but he's a damn clever one.
Yeah.
He no longer gets the $7,500 or more a car in rebates anymore because of energy savings.
And now look what's happening.
No problem, and we're gonna go right through that.
Yep, and he did, which is pretty impressive.
And he started in China.
Yeah, just opened a gigafactory in China, and they just had their highest delivery quarter ever, I believe. Mm-hmm. I don't own the stock outside of some ETFs, but it scares me at the number it's at. But I also have said that about some other companies that have continued to grow like they are.
Amazon scared me at 600.
Yeah.
Look at it. Yeah, this guy, and he's doing a lot of other stuff, too. It's not just this electric car thing, but he has a brain that's a little hard to figure out.
Yeah, he's
everywhere.
He's definitely one of those sort of geniuses that's a little off.
If someone advances battery technology, as we had microprocessor technology, to where you're starting to have clean rooms to build batteries because mm-hmm. it's so small that you're working on it, certainly they're going to make more than Texas Instruments and the rest of our microprocessor folks.
Well, nobody has more at stake in the battery industry than Elon Musk.
No doubt about it.
And it's not just for cars either. He does those the batteries that are embedded in the ground. The solar panels charge them all day, and then they discharge all night and keep your place going. That's going to be a huge technology also, I believe. Not to mention running space shuttles up and back with people in them.
For those who don't travel out west of Jacksonville on the interstate, there are massive solar farms out there.
Yeah.
And going up I-75, I guess where they've got large former farmland that's not being used as farmland anymore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just hundreds of acres of solar panels.
Some of those are the old fertilizer grounds, too, where the phosphates were being basically strip mined.
Great point.
And that's not done so much anymore.
Thank you for your time and your I appreciate your couple of end of the year re-announcement.
It's hard to conceive of a world being that good when the news is always so rotten, isn't it?
Yeah. Appreciate it.
I got a quick question for you, Marshall. Yeah. If you got a second.
All right. Sure.
Who was the best Fed chairman we've had? Was it Marshall?
Paul Volcker.
Volcker. Yeah, I was going to start at Greenspan because it was a trick question. Because you're absolutely right.
The reason why I felt he was is he did something people in Washington don't do very well.
Tightened up?
No, he made a decision based on what he truly felt was the very best thing for the long-term success of our economy.
Yep. And you know what? I didn't like him very much either. That's what I think of the Fed. But you nailed the question, my friend.
I think I may have mentioned this to you before. He spoke to the National Association of Home Builders before he started going through that ramping up of rates.
Really?
And he says, guys, you're going to hate me. And then he proceeded to explain to them what he was going to do, how it was going to impact them, and what the result would be. And what I've been told from folks that I knew that went, he was spot on from the beginning to the end of what he said, what he was going to do, how he was going to do it, and what the result was going to be. So,
how about that?
Wish his son had that knowledge.
You know, the sub question to that one was: did Ben Bernanke ever get anything right? You want to go two for two?
I think that's the other end of the spectrum. People who did something for political purpose rather than what their job. Like, for instance, your job is to help someone decide what is their risk tolerance, what are their needs, what are their goals, and then work with them to find what is the best solution to that problem. And so many of us, that's our jobs.
Well said.
But there are people that do not want to do that when they get into the public arena.
Very well said. I agree with you completely. Good job.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call, Marshall. Have a good weekend. All right, we got Captain Dave on the line, but I've only got about 40 seconds. So, Dave, if you can, just hang on for a few minutes through a quick break, and we'll get right back to you. And we'll remind everybody once again that the trivia question is out there. How many crosses did the Dow make in the 26,000 mark? It is an odd number, and we now know, thanks to Marshall, that it's above 13. So we're narrowing it down. You've only got an uncountable number of choices left to make. So, how about that? All right, we're going to pay some bills again, and we will be back in a few minutes, ready to roll. Got lots more goodies coming up and some phone calls, so we'll take those momentarily. Do not go anywhere. Hang on tight. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can give Troy a call at 662-9794. Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. I meant to do Captain Dave first, but the lines are in order. Can you hang on for a minute?
If I can.
Thank you so much. Captain Dave.
Hey, guys.
Good
how
morning.
You doing?
Good. What's up?
All right, you just said something that triggered something I've been saying for a while.
Uh-oh.
There was this guy, his first name was Charlie, and he wrote a book, and it starts out, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Yep. Tale of Two Cities.
I keep looking around for Robespierre. I know he's out there somewhere. you read that, you know, if you read his... Yeah, he's pretty. He was a very educated man, and he was actually extremely liberal.
Yes,
and he thought that terror and government went together.
I've always kind of thought that maybe that's where John, what's his name, ran for president. His two Americas,
Kerry.
No. Well, you know, it
what,
is,
kind of, what was his name? I can't remember.
I don't know.
He was an attorney, made all his money suing people in court for things that didn't exist.
John Edwards. Edwards?
Yeah, thank you.
There you go.
I don't know why that was causing me so much trouble.
But, he had a very interesting social life.
Yes, he certainly did. Very aggressive, apparently.
Yes.
but you know, we're rapidly becoming two Americans.
Well, you know, it's happening regardless, and it's going to keep happening. The question is, how far can we raise the lower end, not how can we stifle the upper end?
No, I am not talking about
left and right.
I'm talking about politically and just the general point of view of who you are, where you are.
Yeah, constructive debate is a thing of the past.
History. Yeah. It was the best of times. It was the worst
was
of
the
times.
Worst of
I
times.
Think everybody should read A Tale of Two Cities right now.
Well, it's a Dickens of a book, right?
Yeah. Oh,
ouch.
Man.
Ouch.
Terrible.
I couldn't.
Terrible.
There are times I just can't help myself.
Oh, try harder.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Jim, thanks for waiting.
Hey, sure enough.
What's up?
I had a question for you. There's, you know, nothing on today's subjects that you've been talking about, but do you have any idea what the so-called Bitcoin is worth in dollars?
last time I looked, the Bitcoin share, the American dollar exchange ETF, it was in the 14,000 range.
Well,
the Bitcoin itself, if you own one,
Bitcoin is, hold on,
it was the number one
investment. $8,121.30.
Okay, it was the number one investment for 2019, from January 1 to December 31, and I wouldn't have owned it if you'd told me it was going to be. How's that?
So in other words, you could buy it for $8,000 and change, which couldn't sell it for anything.
Well, it's got an open market.
Yeah, it has a market that you can always sell it for the market value. Right. The problem is that market value changes very frequently and very fast. So I'm looking at a one-year chart, and the high, the 52-week range is 3,370 on the low, and the high is 13,813. So that means that it could have traded anywhere in there when you wanted to sell. So if you sold at 13, great. If you sold at 4, ouch.
But it could have happened the other way.
Yep.
Right.
And, there's a wise old man once said, if you can't explain it to a 12-year-old in 5 minutes, then why would you own it?
Exactly.
You tell me what Bitcoin is, and I'll tell you exactly whether or not I'd buy it.
So,
how many do you have?
Big whopping zero.
Together we own a total of zero.
Yes.
That's me too. just a question. I hear very little about it, but what I do hear about it, it's always grandioso, you know.
When it first came out, my comment was, you just wait. It may not be the stated intention of people using Bitcoin to avoid taxes on their transactions, but that's what's happening, and the IRS is not going to be happy. Well, guess what? They're cracking down.
I'll bet.
I don't consider that one of my genius recommendations. That is just as obvious as the nose on your face that if somebody's making money and not paying taxes, they're going to care about that a lot.
Yeah, if somebody comes up with other currency other than theirs, they're not going to be happy at all.
Yeah, well, then you know what happens when you get somebody like Facebook in on it. Uh-oh. Now it's really out there in the public. And that means Facebook. IRS is really going to be on top of it. So. No, not a fan. Sorry, not a fan.
Me either. Hey, I want to take a shot at your trivia.
Please do. Sure.
I'm ready to go. I'm going to go with 15.
Still a little low.
Really?
Yeah, this was a stubborn number, no doubt about it.
Really? Okay, great.
Thank you. We appreciate the call. You have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you. You too.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Thanks so much for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling.
I've got a very basic question for you. I've been listening to financial programs. Mm-hmm. Oh, are you still there?
Yeah, we are. Yep. Yep. Loud and clear.
10 years now, and I never understood what a hedge fund is. It took me 3 years ago in a church before I could figure out what repent meant. Everybody said you must repent. And I was like, okay, if somebody would tell me what it is, I'll do it.
You want to take it, Adam?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, a hedge fund is simply a how can I
put this succinctly? Group of assets.
Yeah, it's not unlike buying a mutual fund, except that that's totally different. And I know that's very confusing. But it's a bunch of people that put money together. It's run by a person who controls how it's invested. Hedge funds can be invested in a wide variety of different ways.
All legal, by the way.
Yeah, there's nothing illegal about the setup. It's simply a way that people can pool money that's managed by another person. And the goal of that is typically to make money on those investments. Now, how they do that, it can be systemized trading, it can be high frequency trading, it could be just stock picking. There's so many different ways that they work. Options. I mean,
a lot of leverage.
Yeah, there's no specific way, but the real reason that they exist is the tax advantages that they are afforded under the current law. So they are allowed to take their profits and roll them into other investments and not distribute them to the investors right away. So that is where people get frustrated and say that they're only for the rich and their tax shelters. And it's quite complicated, but essentially that's why they have this bad reputation.
Yeah, plus they haven't fared very well over the last few years.
No, in general. I mean, some have done really, really well. But
yeah,
again,
but they rely on a market that's not been as stellar the last 3 years as ours has.
The ones that trade on volatility have not done very well because we have not seen a lot of that. And that's very typical. In fact, there's one, I know one of the guys who owns and runs one in Atlantic Beach, and he trades on volatility, so it's been really tough for him without any volatility to use his strategy to make money.
But there's I've reemphasized, they're totally legal. Anybody can do it. You can trade exactly the way they do. And if you go with somebody who's running one, you're going to find out that the percentage of the take that they get would disinterest you in a big hurry, in my opinion.
So they don't all do it that way. In fact, the guy I know does not charge the standard 2 and 20, but when they say 2 and 20, what that means is they charge you 2% of whatever you have invested per year just to have your money there.
Yep.
And then 20% of the profit on whatever they make. So in our industry, compared to other ways that people can manage money for you, that would be on the high end of the scale.
The way high end.
So that's another reason people, they get a reputation as being unfair or only for the rich.
But all it is really, in the simplest form, it's a pile of legal financial assets, some of which are derivatives, some of which are stocks, any number of things. They label them hedge funds because they generally use various types of options to hedge their losses and sometimes their gains.
I hope that answered your question.
Yeah.
Yes. Could I take a shot at the trivia?
I wish you
question?
Would. You got a few seconds.
How about 27?
You know what? I'll take it. It was 25, and I said plus
you
or
did.
Minus
you did, so
two.
That counts, yep.
You win. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your info. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Sure. No. All right. Oh, I don't even have to give out the answer to the trivia question because I just did. That's fantastic. Yeah, that was a real bear getting over that hump. And it, not only that, it took from January 17th of 2018 to August 25th of 2019 to get across it for the final time. That's a long way, folks. Patience will be rewarded. That's called consolidation in the industry when the market doesn't move much for that time. We'll see you next week with more fun and games. Be here. This is the Banway Financial Hour.